1987. I can't believe it's been 20 years. It was 1987, the summer of 87. And my dad and I had gone up to Smithville, Oklahoma, just north of Beaver's Bend State Park and Lake Broken Bow, to go fishing like we did nearly every summer. We'd gone up and we were out on the river, and I was in back paddling and Dad was in the front of the canoe fishing, fly fishing, trying to get some trot line bait so we could catch some good catfish and have a wonderful catfish fry. So we're out fishing, working our way up one side of the Mountain Fork River across from our cabin and then back up the other side, fishing our way along. And Dad would cast his lines out, his fly rod out, and run it across the surface. And invariably, there'd be a bluegill or a goggle eye that'd come up and snap onto that fly, and he'd hook it, and he'd pull it in, and he'd bring it in and stick it in the basket and throw it out there again. About an hour and a half, we fished, and Dad caught, oh, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40, it seems. And then we switched places, and he paddled, and I fished. And I just don't know what it is, but fish had, they just loved Dad, and they couldn't stand me. And so I would cast that out and lay it across, and I'd pop it across the surface, no fish. Again, and pop it across the surface, no fish. Pop it across the surface, no fish. You're not flicking it right. Oh, okay, what do I do? He says, when you pop it across the surface, you're moving it too fast. By the time the fish have a chance to see it, it's gone. Oh, okay, so it's slower. Whew. Pop, 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 nothing. I did it slower this time. You're going too slow now. Oh, they think it's dead. All right. Whew. Pop, 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 pop. Bam! Something hit it. And I thought it was some big, big puppy. And so I go, whoosh! And through the air goes this itty-bitty little microfish, about the size of a huma-huma-nuku-nuku-wapu-a-a, all the way across to the other side of the river. And Dad says, you're fishing the wrong side of the river now. So I start to cast of that, and I felt this massive, and I says, oh my goodness, I caught a fish on the other side with the little one. And I did. This big old bass saw this itty-bitty little fish come in out of the water, and he decided he was going to have dinner. Wham! So I ended up catching a bass over on the other side, and Dad said, that's the dumbest way to do that. We can put that one on the stringer, because we're going to eat him. And, all right, cast it back out there again. First time I cast out, the second time we were going after that, and the next fish, of course, I catch a tree. Lose a fly, then did it again, caught a limb way down underwater because I let it sit too long, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, the day progressed. I maybe caught two or three fish to go on the trot line. We switched places again. Dad caught another 30 or so. So we had enough for three lines. I don't know. I just don't understand how he could do that. I fish all day, catch three. He fish all day, catch 35. That's Dad. Anyway, during that afternoon, as I was paddling and he was fishing, I said, Dad, I want to tell you something. I said, I'm going to make an announcement on Sunday to my pastor that I'm called to the ordained ministry. And it's the only time I've ever seen Dad get himself hung up in a tree. And also one of the few times I've ever seen him go, oh, heck, pull down, take slippers and snip, forget about the line and the bug, because he couldn't wait to get to me to give me a hug. Last night, talking with Mom, she asked me what I was preaching on the day, and I told her what the lectionary had appointed from Revelation. We were sitting there, and she pulls out her Bible, and she takes a look at it, and she starts to laugh. And I said, why? What's funny? And she read, then the angel showed me, she had a Greg moment. She saw something in the Bible that's not there, but she saw it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And Mother read that and she started laughing and she looked at me and she said, I can hear it now. Dad up in heaven gets there. His mom is showing him around. His mom and dad are showing him around heaven. And Mayo's turned and looked at his mom and said, man, that river looks like it has some fish in it, I bet. Let's go fishing. That's my dad's idea of heaven. Rejoicing in God's nature. Catching fish. It's amazing how God works. God began preparing me on Monday for my dad's going home to be with the Lord on Friday. This lectionary passage is the one that's appointed for today. Same with the John passage, which is one that I preach every single funeral sermon. And I spent the whole week contemplating this passage. What heaven and eternity and glory after the tribulation and after all that stuff, beyond all the debates about what happens when and where, comes the end and the new Jerusalem and glory everlasting and in eternity. And heaven is described. And I spent the whole week thinking and praying and considering what eternity is going to be like. And then Friday night, Saturday morning, sitting at the hospital waiting for my brother to get there, Mom turned and looked at me and said, you may have been wondering all week, but he knows. He knows. What about heaven? What does this passage from Revelation chapter 21 tell us about heaven? I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light. And its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. What does this tell us about heaven? It tells us that there is no temple in heaven, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are present everywhere throughout it. An eternal living temple, worshiping anywhere, not just in a temple, but anywhere in glory everlasting you are worshiping in and with Christ Jesus for all of New Jerusalem is the temple because God is everywhere there. That word, God Almighty. God Almighty. In Hebrew, God Almighty is El Shaddai. Most of you have heard the name El Shaddai. Amy Grant sang a beautiful song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. It's in our hymnals. It means God Almighty. But in Hebrew, Shaddai has a specific meaning. Not just Almighty, it means the breasted one. It's a motherly image for God. God Almighty, who nourishes His children from His very self as a mother nourishes her children from her own breast. God Almighty, El Shaddai, God El Shaddai, the one who breastfeeds, feeds from His very nature, His very grace, His children. What a powerful image from Mother's Day. This God, this El Shaddai, is present absolutely everywhere. And the Lamb, Jesus, is His lamp, shining forth the glorious grace, the glory of God, to every single inch and corner of the New Jerusalem. So, firstly, this tells us that there is no temple in heaven, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are present everywhere throughout it, an eternal living temple. It also tells us there's no sun, no moon, or any other form of lighting, for God is ever present there, and God's glory is its light, and that light shines from Jesus. There's one other time when this is so. It's amazing how God's holy word goes full circle. There's one other time when there was no need for sun or moon or stars, when there was no need for any other kind of lighting, because the lighting was from the very glory of God's presence, God's self. And it's when God said, "Let there be light." Long before the sun was created, the glory of God lit every nook and cranny of creation. So here we have the Word of God coming full circle. We're back now in the New Jerusalem to a situation where there's no need for a sun or a moon or stars, because the glory of God, the light of God, shining forth from God's immediate real presence, fills every single nook and cranny, inch and crevice of the New Jerusalem. There is no place you can go where the glory of God doesn't flood you and flood over you. Thirdly, heaven isn't just open 12 hours a day. Heaven doesn't have office hours. Heaven is eternally open. It is open while it is day, while God is there, and it is never night because God is always there. Heaven doesn't shut down, doesn't close. It's always open. God is always there. And finally, only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. How are you written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And are you? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you received the grace of God? Have you been called to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you exercised faith in Jesus Christ and walked in His ways and listened to Him speaking to you? Have you read His holy word and received the revelation He has for you from it? Have you professed Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you shared Him with others by faith, knowing that when you simply share the wonderful, glorious good news of what He has done for you, God's grace fills those who hear, and if they are called to receive and have faith, they do? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is, then you'll be here. You'll be here. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's keep going. What does this passage tell us about us? It tells us that God provides us a flowing abundance of love, mercy, and grace in that river of life. My mom had a Greg moment there, but she was right. I can just see my dad doing that. Oh, it looks a little fishy over there on that corner. I smell a bass. Looks a little fishy over here. That tributary there on the side would be a good place to put a trot line. Bet we could catch some good catfish there. We talked about that for a while. And I said, the good news about the river of life in heaven and Dad and his mom and Dad fishing that river, the good news about the river of life in heaven is that there'd be no gars to get on the line and no turtles to come and strip off the catfish or get caught on the line. Dad wouldn't have to take his gun and shoot the turtles off. There'd just be good, yummy bass and catfish to eat. Amen. Oh, my friends. The river of life, you don't go fish it. It's pure, it's clean. But that image, that idea, that feeling of rejoicing at being in the immediate presence of God is what each of us, if we persist in faith, each of us, if we persist in God's grace, each of us, if we persevere in this life that God has given us, if we continue to walk with our hand in the Master's hand, each of us will get to experience that. Amen. Each of us are going to walk those streets and see that river and eat from the tree of life and enjoy the eternal presence of God. And here's what it says we'll be doing. All those who are there will worship Him, and we will see His face, and His name will be in us, and we will reign with Him forever. We will worship Him. We will worship Him. We will worship the Lamb. We will worship He who sits upon the throne. We will join the angels in singing glorious praises to God. We will rejoice and feast on the tree of life and drink deep from the river of life. And we will rejoice in the eternal presence of God. With that to look forward to. Now, I know I'm afraid of the process. But with that to look forward to, I'm not afraid of what's waiting. I feel for those. When I worked as a chaplain at Duke Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, undergoing the clinical pastoral education program, I can remember going to visit people who were terrified of the next life. They weren't just terrified of dying, the process, the pain, the difficulty, and the uncertainty of what that's going to be like, the actual process of going through it. Most of them were already a good chunk of the way through that process already when I talked to them. They were afraid of what happened next. And they were afraid because every last one of them, while they knew about Jesus, while they knew about God, while they knew the stories and had heard the proclamation of the resurrection, every single one of them didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Him. They had not said yes to the offered gift of grace. They hadn't walked, stepped out, reached out, blinked their eyes in faith. They had turned their back and walked away, or sat on a pew, had made no effort, no word of faith. They may have had a passive belief even, but they had no faith. And so they were terrified. One man was utterly terrified, just utterly terrified, so afraid that he hung on and hung on and hung on and hung on long past, when it was to the point that it was far beyond the worst torture any person could ever have. And when he died with fear in his face. Friday night, when I looked on my dad. I saw a man with no pain, no anguish. A man whose last expression was the expression that most of us saw a lot. A smile. A man not contorted in fear, but a man at peace. So I like that image that Mother brought up. Dad standing there on the bank looking at the river, looking at his mom, and said, "Where's the canoe? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Where's the canoe?" I want to thank each of you. I want to thank you for having received my family into your wonderful arms, for having been a family for us, for having loved my mother and father. And even though they couldn't be here as often as they wanted, and especially in the last year, for caring about them and praying for them, and for supporting me in this time too. You each mean so very much to me. And you know what? Even when I leave, even after June 10th, I may no longer be your pastor, but I'm still your friend. And more importantly, I'm still your brother in Christ. Amen. And we will rejoice together eventually. Some sooner, some later, we will rejoice together in celebrating and worshiping God and rejoicing in His real presence forever. Amen. Have faith. Be filled with God's grace, with the light of His glory. Every time you come to this table and receive the elements of Holy Communion, realize it's a foretaste of gathering at the marriage supper of the Lamb for all eternity. A foretaste of being fed by El Shaddai, and indeed an actualization as a means of grace of being fed by El Shaddai here, right now. For eternity doesn't begin over there, friends. It begins right here. And if you haven't begun your eternal walk with Jesus today, I encourage you to commit yourself. When you come forward and take the bread and receive the elements in faith, I encourage you to make that your first step of faith. And begin your eternal walk with the Savior.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.